Lime, duh. Yeah. Wow, yeah. Let's do it again, baby. Hello. Whoa. Woo. Comedians of Wrestling Podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I'm your host, the host who's one of your guys, Dan Black, a.k.a. Dunsky Black Amora, a.k.a. Donnie Wrestling, a.k.a. Donnie Capri from the time I went to Italy.
Seems like you're a little stupid, but you're actually really stupid.
A.K.A. the modern day Goof Raja.
Mount Rushmore.
coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, gabba, wee, this girl, she's mine, and a little bit of the bubbly. She's fine. Oh, yeah. What up, Jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our spicy.
Erase your mind.
Mi wee caliente wrestling reaction.
I gotta tell you. You are one weird dude.
Thank you. And before we kick it off and I introduce the room and get to our special announcement at the top of the show, I gotta...
What flavor is that?
Lemon, duh. No, I know. It's not a lime. They were out of lemon in the inner sanctum, and I'm drinking a lemon, and let me tell you.
Not a sound effect.
Terrible.
That was a bomb.
Seems like the easiest one to get right.
I like lemon. I gotta be honest.
They get
it's
it
not
so
lime.
Hold on, I gotta wash it down with some fucking cold brew. What time is it? 10 p.m.
It's 10. Ooh. I got a cold brew too. Let's sip in solidarity.
Sitting to my front, you hear him. He's back, baby. The nasty one, Nasty Newman.
Welcome to How About It City, bitch.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
Holy motherfucking shit.
A little twist on the old catchphrase there.
I'm a Brock Lesnar guy now.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, remember?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's
talking
true.
About this.
Oh, yeah, you had your moment where you met him. You know, in studio, the first lady, Erin Finnerty.
What up?
And to my left, the man who will not thank you for brunch, the engineer, the Canadian dream / my Canadian nightmare. Do not buy this guy brunch. He will not thank you for buying him brunch.
You guys went to brunch?
Where were we?
Wow. Good to see you in Los Angeles. Bienvenidos.
Yes.
In my defense, you didn't notice that I didn't thank you. I noticed I didn't thank you.
Or is that what I said because I'm actually a class act?
Oh, it's possible.
Si se puede. Yeah. When was brunch scheduled? Did you?
I wasn't there, Newman.
I didn't get an invite.
No.
Well, sometimes I like to take out a nose to brunch, and and that's how I kind of ease him into all my criticisms.
Yeah, really.
You know what I mean?
Grease in the wheel. I get it.
Absolutely. Okay. I took him out to a little brunch, and I told
him
that...
Wow, brunch sounds really nice,
lunch.
Too.
Yeah, a little brunch.
I was disappointed in the amount of grapes you're eating on air.
It wasn't eating
a little punch and brunch.
Yeah. I will...
I went out... to brunch with Dan and his wife, and
she was even there
in San Diego though. So,
I mean, it's not that far.
I've been there.
No more Mr. Nice Chew.
That's you. No more brunch. Yeah. That's no more brunch for me. I'll tell you that. That's Heyman speaking for me, saying what we're all thinking. Hey, everybody, if you like this show, and by the way. What we've done up until this point is not representative of what we do, okay? So don't turn it off. Keep listening.
But
if you like what we do, you're digging it. No, this podcast is grassroots, baby. We're the Bernie Sanders of podcasts, but without any kind of political affiliation, because I don't want to isolate listeners, daddy. you can support this show the best way. The only way to support this show is patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. Get access to our bonus episodes. This episode comes out Thursday morning. morning on your way to the Hagee Shop Wednesday night for all you late night owls is what I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday night for all you late night owls out there. And
Wolfman Jack.
Our Patreon episode that is hyper NXT AEW focus comes out on Friday mornings. I record that with the super Mark, Nick Tulo.
Man, that guy is the mystery. He's the Dr. Manhattan of Mark.
He's on another planet right now, and he's on Mars.
Yeah,
that's right. True. He's on Mars.
Marks.
We'll have to work on that. That's a work in progress.
Markshin.
The WIP.
Starring. For a couple bucks, you get access to our bonus episode. And also, once a month, we do a movie dissection episode for our episode. To an unhealthy degree, a movie with a professional wrestler in it.
Yep.
And that comes out at our producer level on Patreon. And that episode this month is Hobbs and Shaw, the long overdue dissection of that. And that episode will be coming out on Monday morning. A nice little treat for the patrons on your way to work. You're like, well, I had a great weekend. A nice romantic weekend, a relaxing romantic weekend. Fell in love, fell out of love, fell back in love. Who knows? But now I got to go back to work.
That's a more.
That sounds like an Enosh kind of weekend. You know
Most
what I mean?
Most definitely.
Yeah. Maybe a little Molly going. A little in and out of cuddle puddles.
You're into weekend. You fall in love. You fall out of love.
Tremendous.
Anyway, but that Monday morning, Hobbs and Shaw movie dissection episode. You want to give a little taste, Newman? Did you like it?
Loved it.
Wow, you heard it here second. Okay. Also, you can also get t-shirts.
Yes.
Cow t-shirts, official ones, prowrestlingtees.com /comediansofwrestling. And I will say, I'll make this announcement right now.
Yeah.
We do have it is official, a one of my guys t-shirt.
Uh-huh.
Is in the works, people.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Wow, announcement.
I heard you. And more info on that coming soon. Also, just a shout out. This is also we are still a Hoobastank fan podcast as well.
Mm-hmm. Duh.
And so I know we haven't even talked about them really almost at all. And last week I neglected to even mention Hoobastank, and I apologize to all the Hoobastank books, but I promise we have a lot of time at the end of this podcast for Hoobastank. Talk, all right?
Yeah,
I'll make sure to remind.
And we'll get to that story, that really emotional story about the opening riff.
I've been waiting for that for weeks.
Calling in the dark. Okay, all right, we don't have time for that now. Okay, we're already going over, sorry. Okay, but before we kick off talking about this week in professional wrestling and how we're feeling, we have the Halloween costume contest results.
Hashtag costume contest.
That's right. So I'm going to throw it over to Aaron Finnerty, who's going to tell us about all things this contest, who won, and what this contest was.
Right. And the prize being a Bray Wyatt, The Fiend, Let Me In hoodie, size large.
Right.
We've all got it. It's tremendous.
Yeah.
So cheers up to everyone who entered. We had a lot of contenders, which I think you'd agree. We had on Instagram a large post of almost, I think, everyone who entered. should we go with the winner first?
Yeah. Well...
Or want to give a shout out to everyone who entered. So there was a lot of impressive costumes. I want to give an honorable mention to Harry Wolliner and Olivia Aguilar
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, for and their pallbearer taker.
Well, I mean, a lot of points go to a couple's costume. Yeah. Are you guys marks for couple costumes?
Yeah, like a plug and a socket, or like ketchup and mustard type thing. Yeah, I love those classics.
Like JFK and Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yeah, I love
that's
a classic.
Right.
I love
Trump, Melania.
Yeah.
tremendous
costume. Everybody loves it. Jericho loves it. Loves it.
Yeah, he really does. Yeah. And then another honorable mention to our The Rock turtleneck entrance, yes. Sal Alazio and Emily Scott, not just for the costume, but for pulling off the facial expression and the pose and the fanny pack and the whole package.
Yeah.
I love that outfit.
That's a great outfit. I love seeing two people in the same costume. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
I love
that kind of group mind.
Mm-hmm.
My improv background kicks in.
Yes.
And I also, we got a shout out that Emily also had a killer... her friends were paper and scissors.
Yeah, I know. They were cropped from our Instagram post, but they were the rock, paper, scissors.
It was the rock, paper, scissors.
That's like a double word score pun.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It has like another level to it.
Big, big honorable mention for that.
Absolutely. I mean, if these are honorable mentions, I can't even imagine
who the winner is.
Who the winner is here.
Well, just real quick, everyone else who entered, Elizabeth Muller, Lauren Howard, Carl Schofer, AJ Dayrit.
Great stuff. We got a great Carmella, great Sasha.
Yeah. Charlie Lynch as the Fiend, couple dude loves, Carl and AJ, Izzy Price as Warrior had great makeup, Rami Hayes and her man dress up as Joey Janela's.
And Izzy, I just want to let you know, great Warrior costume. I gotta say, this is why I tell people don't get tattoos. Because if you get tattoos, you run the risk of your shirtless Halloween costume being thrown off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Warrior does not have these tattoos.
You got to keep them below the belt.
Other than that, you look exactly like the ultimate warrior.
Same build, same hair. Almost exact. Without these tattoos, I would think that he was resurrected
same
again.
Same rotten mind.
Yeah.
Same decaying
demented
mind.
Yeah. And also Zach Zacharias had a costume as well. So
Macho Man. Macho Man.
The second place winner of the costume contest.
Wow. Can we get a drum roll? No.
Is
you know what? I'd rather.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like shaking like my. Is right. Second place in the costume contest 2019. The Supermark Nick Tulo.
Always a bridesmaid, Seth. Never a bride. Yeah. Nick Tulo.
Seth Rollins in the swimsuit with the swim cap and the little like floaty arms. Going shirtless, which always gets...
This is a great costume. By the way, a reminder, this is an audio medium. If you're looking to get the 4D visual experience, head over to...
At
Cal Podcast. Instagram account run by the only Aaron Fairner here.
You got it.
Seth, I mean, this Tulo nailed this costume.
Who picked this costume?
Is a costume that if you wore to a party, no one would know what this is.
Right. Oh, Nick, you're a lifeguard?
He'd have to carry around on the photo that Seth Rollins posted online,
right.
and explain who it is.
Even then, people go, "Okay, and who is this?"
Yeah, you gotta explain.
I gotta say, Tulo again, same physique as Seth Rollins, except the tattoos. He's got two chest pieces. But yo, if you guys don't know, if you don't know this, Nick Tulo is a doppelganger for Seth Rollins.
100%.
These guys look like almost exactly alike. Yeah. Go to the Instagram and look at it. They have the same face.
Yeah.
He also looks like one of the Singh brothers, but we don't want to talk about that.
That's less cool.
Seth Rollins just scaled down a little bit.
Yeah.
Like
he's
point,
less
point 0.8. Yeah.
Less
he's like
Rollins.
80% Rollins. Okay.
Oh, man.
Nick less Rollins. Too low.
Nick
but just
less
a little bit.
Rollins.
Burn
low.
It down, but just a little bit. Singe it a bit.
Just a tit back.
Singe it a bit. man, we're having fun. We are.
People.
Well, I mean, this means there must be a winner. I know.
So the winner of the the winner of the 2019 costume contest is, with a double costume entry, Matt Wink.
Wow. So
entering as both Darby Allin and Finn Balor.
I mean, this guy, a double costume. There was
double shirtless.
In the official rules, which don't exist at all.
Just realizing now that the Sami Zayn song, once it kicks in after Let's Go or whatever, sounds like the end credits to America's Funniest Home Videos. It just
I don't have that on demand.
America.
It's like an alternate version where it's not just playing the the opening. It's just like a variation on the opening to close the show.
Stupid. Stupid.
Breaking news. Randy Orton re-signed with WWE.
Five-year deal.
Big shocker there. So
I could have sworn he was going to AEW. I could have sworn it.
Swerve. Yeah. So Matt Wink is the winner. His costumes are stellar.
Two costumes. Let's talk about the first one first. I don't know which, but
Darby King.
His Darby Allin costume is legit,
and it's made better because he wore it to work.
Whoa.
This is at a work function.
Where
okay,
does he work?
Unknown at this point.
Unknown. Where? What's the address of where you work?
So when Darby Allin had his Jericho title shot on AEW like 2 weeks ago, which was a real breakout match.
He's one of my guys.
Yeah, Darby Allin. Oh, Darby Allin on Newman. One of your guys?
Not right now. No,
he's on the.
I haven't.
He's one of my guys.
Yeah, I you know what? I think I did at one point say that Darby Allin was one of my guys.
I think a couple weeks ago.
I think. I don't know. I mean, I think I might have jumped the gun there, but I'm a big fan of his work.
He's one of my guys. He's one of my guys.
I like him a little bigger.
I like that he's. I like a small, compact.
I mean, that match was one of my guys, and he's definitely on the road to being one of my guys. But right now, I cannot officially declare him one of my guys.
Okay.
Right. And I apologize for any misinformation I gave earlier on the podcast. We need to kind of drop one of my guys.
We'll get there.
We'll get there. But his second costume was incredible,
amazing.
Just Demon Finn.
Where is it?
Demon Finn. That one is on the Facebook.
Wow.
It's just exactly what you think.
You.
Full Demon Finn.
He looks, I mean.
Also, Matt Wink. He's a good looking dude.
Yeah.
He's a good looking dude.
Matt?
Because he kind of has he's got a wrestler build. Hey, folks.
Oh, that's amazing.
Now shake those hips.
He looks exactly like Finn.
And let your backbone slip.
All right. Anyway, so
Matt, you're the winner.
Information.
Yeah, I'll DM you.
And we will mail you the cow.
I'm gonna slide into those DMs. I'm gonna get your address.
That's crazy.
So, you guys ready to talk about pro wrestling or what?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to ring the bell.
Oh, you want to ring the bell here?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, let's get into it. Woo, woo, woo. Yeah. All right. Welcome. All right. We need another intro.
Back from the break.
Well, this is still the intro.
I want to start talking. I mean, there's a million things I want to talk about. But man, I think we have to start talking about AEW and NXT right now.
Yeah.
Again, you know, we record this podcast right as AEW and NXT end, and so I feel like it's always spiciness. But also, it's like we're. SmackDown was exciting last week because of NXT, right?
Raw was exciting because of NXT.
But if you remove the NXT factor,
right?
Do we want to sit here and talk about the Lana Lashley angle?
I hate that. That's all I have to say about it.
I think a lot of people, myself included, are with you.
I kind of like the thing is this. We are leading with this, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess we are leading with this. We're leading. I think that...
Leading
people.
Wow.
The people are back.
The number. The listeners are dropping.
The people are back.
People.
Okay. I don't know why I pressed that. Okay. But hey. Yeah. No. But look. There's something about it that like I crave stories so much.
Right.
That even that shit angle... with Lana, I'm like, oh, I'm following a story, and it makes me kind of happy.
Like the deserts miss the rain.
Yeah.
Right. Wow.
You're just soaking
this. And I miss you.
Yeah.
Anosh, do we have that drop on the command? Was that any Lennox?
It's not in the budget.
Sade?
It's not Sade. How dare you know?
Who is it?
I don't know. It's not Sade. Missed,
and I miss you. All right.
Coming soon to Cowtunes on Spotify.
Wow. And by the way, that is a real thing.
Yes.
I listened to that playlist. By the way, we have the Cowtunes playlist. It was curated by Aaron Finity
on
here.
On Spotify. Search for it.
I listen to it pretty much exclusively. I'm not driving.
Every time you get in Dan's car, it's playing a different Cowtune.
Yeah.
I don't like it because...
I was walking out to Judas today.
It's just... It's lazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think they're all overestimating what they need to do to get Rusev over as a face.
I know,
and at this point, I just assume that he and Lana have, like, an arrangement.
I was thinking it's like another version. It's like a long con, which they've basically done, like, shorter versions of before with...
Right.
other dudes. So,
well, I wanted to share. Yeah, I mean, whatever. I don't really have much with it. You guys know my feelings on Bobby Lashley. Yeah. I'm a big fan.
really?
He's a huge weirdo. Yeah. He's so weird. And a new, and if they put him in any angles that involve, you know how weird he is.
Yeah.
You know
his
what I mean?
Sisters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He came in here. You remember when he came in here? Talk about,
I don't know if I was here that day, actually.
Hey guys!
Oh my gosh!
Bobby,
he was summoned.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, Bobby, I was about to talk about AEW and NXT, but
okay. Well, I'm here now. We can talk. I'm used to taking the attention away from one thing and putting it on me. That's what I do these days.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Bobby, I guess we're talking about how's your relationship going with Lana? Have you taken her home to meet the fam?
Oh no, I can't have her meet my family.
No,
that's part of this whole thing. I mean, I'm breaking this man's heart. You know,
sure.
And that's like on purpose, you know.
Yeah,
and
I know.
So
that's
I can't bring her around my family. That's not.
Oh, really? I thought you were such a family man. Last time we saw you.
No, look, if I brought her around my sisters, man, my sisters would just, I mean, they would prank her so bad. And, you know, I can't.
You're worried about
oh,
her.
Oh, right. I remember you were talking about all the weird pranks with not weird. I apologize for that judgment. All this pranks with your sisters.
Yeah. You remember the time they ran me down with a Ford Mustang?
Yeah, I was trying to explain to you last time you came in. These aren't pranks.
No,
okay?
Yeah. She was laughing the whole time, man.
No, that's not a prank. That's attempted murder.
Oh, well, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, it's a good relationship. It's interesting. I've never been one to take someone else's girlfriend or boyfriend, you know. But I'm trying new things these days.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
That's
all right.
Interesting.
Well, you know what, Bobby? I don't have any questions to ask.
All right,
you.
I'm going
to
get out of here.
Send our regards to your sister and to Lana.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, yeah. Okay.
Kathy, Jessica, Francis.
You remember my sister's name?
Of course.
Names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to have them prank you.
Oh, okay. God, me?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking over my shoulder.
All right,
I got to go. Bye, I love you.
Okay. Yeah.
Love you, too.
Wow, Bobby Lashley, you heard him here first. A lot to say.
Lana's over
there. He's so weird. I'm a big fan of how weird Bobby Lashley is.
Yeah.
But
always room for a weird, jacked dude.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just not a lot of people in that space.
Yeah. Especially on my bus ride to work. There's a lot of weird... Weird jack
dudes. 24-hour fitness.
Yeah.
All right. I want to talk about AEW and NXT.
Let's do it.
So, I talked about this a little bit on the other app, but I want to know where you guys are at.
Uh-huh.
When I turn on Wednesday, even this week, I cannot believe how much more into AEW I am than NXT.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually shocking to me. I put it like this, where I was like, I watch AEW for the same reason that I would normally watch Raw.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching NXT for the reason that I thought I was going to watch AEW.
Yeah.
Mm. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense.
AEW feels so much more like a television show to me than NXT. Now, I think that also comes from the fact that NXT is a little more... sports oriented in a way. That's what Tulo had said, that it's a little too sporty for me. But here's my thought.
Wait, what is AEW?
NXT
is too sporty for you or
yeah,
for Tulo?
Yeah, but here's what I mean. It's a little bit more
it's just focused on the wrestling.
Yeah, yes. There's less story.
Yeah. Right, it is focused on the
and
wrestling.
The stories are just the like who's grudging against
between
who
the
because
wrestling.
They that's lost it. The match.
Right.
And my thing, so what I'm saying is that and by the way, I just want to preface all this. Love both programs. Love that they both exist. I don't think we need to pit them against each other or anything.
No.
I think that, like I said, people are becoming Wednesday night people over Friday and Monday people.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like Monday and Friday pitted against both Wednesday shows.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I think that seems to be coming to fruition, but... I don't think that's how people show up, but I do think the conversation comes up. You know, there is a competition there. For me, when I watch NXT, like this week, for example, AJ invades. Right?
With the OC.
Man.
Right.
Very exciting.
So it's so dope because AJ Styles on NXT, right? By the way, could those guys get any baggier jeans?
Oh, good Lord.
I mean, does it not? That's the one thing always bums me out about AJ is you're like,
I'll wear a 32, 30 ultra relaxed jean.
You got a 30 inseam on those?
I got
bad
a 30
boys?
Inseam. I'm a very short guy.
He's, damn, yeah, he's
short
wearing
legs.
Rockets. Jankos.
Yeah, I got my
elephant.
Jeans.
Yeah, I got my 42-inch opening elephant Jankos that I got at JCPenney in 1996.
I thought that was new. You AJ.
He's wearing stovepipes. AJ, you don't recognize him.
Unbelievable. You're here in studio.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, what are the... Hell yeah?
I got the jeans from JCPenney. No, don't play that damn music.
No? Yep. Cut it?
Yeah. Cut the music. Right, I got these damn jeans from JCPenney, the Janko. They got a little bomb on it. Let's see his little patch, little customized patch.
Oh
all the
gosh,
Janko jeans, goddamn. Got a little face, got a little bomb on it. These
that's so cute.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah. These pants are dope as hell.
Look, no respect. I mean, you are the phenomenal one, arguably. I don't even think arguably. I think you are the number. I think he's still the number one wrestler. No,
well, he's one of your guys.
100%. Yeah. By the way, AJ.
Yeah.
You are one of my guys.
Well, thank you very much, Dan. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Wish I could say the
same.
One
of my main fucking guys. One of my main guys.
Well, I mean, I think it's because we're so aligned politically.
That's where
I wish. Well, in your views of the shape of the planet Earth, you guys
totally
see
flat.
Eye to eye.
I wouldn't
because the Earth
even
is
call
flat.
It a shape.
No, that part we agree on.
I wouldn't even call it a shape. Just flat.
That's a plane.
It's a plane. What happens when you go off it?
What? You come out the other side like Pac-Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, all right.
Gotcha.
If you can run fast enough, you actually can run up and touch your own back.
Right.
Oh.
You can do a phenomenal forearm off it. Hit your opponent who's on the other side of the world.
Yeah, you got it. See, I told you. Completely aligned.
Okay. God, these guys are really simpatico.
I don't know. Aaron has some weird ideas about that. But listen, I'm with you on that. But here's the deal. The jeans.
Yeah.
I want to say, I feel like your jeans are a little, your style's a little off.
Well, come on, man. Look, these jeans, I can actually, they come with little straps where I can turn it into a book bag.
Oh, my God.
No, that's you just made this worse. You just made this worse.
Yeah, they're called, when I'm not wearing Jankos, I'm wearing my UFO pants.
Yeah, no.
Remember them? I got them at Mr. Rags in the Oxford Valley Mall.
Yeah,
I know. Those are extremely out of style.
Wow, you were in Oxford Valley. You were up in Oxford Valley.
So, AJ.
1999.
I noticed that the stitching on those jeans are like, almost as thick as like a fireman's rope.
Yeah, it's like piping. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like an upholstery you might see on like a chair in a museum.
Yeah, I know.
From 1999.
I know. It's a little clunky. You know what I mean?
Well, come on, it's comfortable, man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm out here with all you liberals in your tight jeans and your coffee shops. I know we're not. We're completely aligned politically.
No, we're not.
What I'm saying is, okay, huge wink, okay? Look, what I'm saying is, look, I'm just going for comfort, all right? And it just so happens that Janko makes very comfortable and very fashionable jeans.
Yeah.
Because they're so big.
So I got a 42-inch opening, all right?
They don't even touch your leg.
No.
It's like you're not wearing pants at all.
Exactly. It's like I'm walking in like a denim tent.
Yeah. And that shirt, what's the material on that shirt there?
Oh, this is velour.
Whoa. Yeah. Can I touch that. It? I want to touch it.
It's a two-tone velour. I got it at Target.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's not a funny joke. AJ, I just want to tell you that as a comedian, you know what I mean? I just want to say Target is like, that's not funny.
But that's what me and my family call it, Target, because it's like fancier than it actually is.
No, I get it. We get it.
It's kind of like making it bougie.
Yeah.
Whoa, okay.
Okay. Look. I'm not trying to insult your back. I'm just saying on TV. You ever see like Finn Balor in the back? And maybe asking for some style tips?
Yes.
Well, I mean, first of all, that guy never wears pants, so I'm not going to take it. Pants advice from a guy that doesn't wear pants. I mean, come on, Dan.
No, he wears pants sometimes, right?
No, he never wears pants.
Really? But I've
seen that man doesn't put pants on.
I don't think you... Okay. All right, AJ. Anything else you want to let people know?
Alex Jones is completely right about everything, and Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself.
Wow, we haven't seen Alex Jones in a while.
I don't think I've met him, actually.
We got to get you to go.
All right, I'm out of here. Excuse me, hold on. My jeans are caught on the chair.
Oh,
yeah, I know.
The whole chair is in my
jeans. You're tripping and falling all over your jeans. Wow. Okay, well, we learned a lot.
I haven't seen that in a while.
Arguably not a lot. But so, look, here's the thing. All right, with AJ and they come out, and they're in the ring. Uh-huh. I love it. They beat up... Undisputed Era, they posted that was really smart. They posted it on Instagram, so you're like, oh shit. And it worked.
Yeah.
I started with NXT by the way, I got the other rig going quick. I'm watching both. I'm watching both at the same time. So it's not really a big deal. But it's more like, it's more like for me, which one do I put on first?
Right.
On the rig. But my thing is that it's just kind of like, oh, there's three of us. So then, oh, here's three NXT guys. And then they set up a main event. That's a little Monday Night Raw. No? Right,
yeah. A little. It is Monday Night.
Is that a little, for NXT, the cool show, is that a little Monday Night Raw?
What would you prefer?
I don't know. I mean, what I would prefer? I would think more of like something where it's like AJ is, they just made a match. Like, who made that match? You know what I mean? That's kind of like my problem with Raw. It's like, they come in, are they allowed to just wrestle in NXT? This is my big problem with the whole invasion thing, if you want to just expand this and get into all of it, So Raw and SmackDown have no GMs, no one running the show. There's no establishment that a Raw wrestler and SmackDown wrestler would have any kind of allegiance at all to their brand, because there's no structure to it. So it's not like, and they do have, you have Fox and you have competing networks, right? So you could play that angle where it's like, I work for Fox, and they had someone who's like the Fox representative. Right. They could do it, but there's no structure to the show. Right. So then Triple H shows up. He's able to just put the NXT title on the line on Raw and SmackDown. He's allowed to book Raw and SmackDown, even though he's kind of the NXT guy now, right? And so he shows up in a limo. It's like, this is an invasion. Well, an invasion of what?
Right.
What's the show?
It's a different department.
Yeah.
What's the show? It seems to just be. It's like the equivalent of like invading. Like, if right now we just invaded the UCB stage.
Right,
it's like,
right.
Oh no, the podcast guys are invading.
Let's go do it.
And people are like, oh fuck, it's the podcast guys never cross paths with the, right? Or like in your office, you work at the hoagie shop, right? It's like the bread prepper in the back and the sandwich guy.
Yeah.
He comes in and it's like, he's making sandwiches. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
a little finesse would be nice.
I, for one, love it.
You're enjoying it.
I'm enjoying it.
It does make it a little more exciting, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
you don't think I went a little overboard there? Do you think I went a little overboard?
You're talking about Wednesday night NXT. I think the NXT makes Monday, Friday a little more exciting.
Yes.
But bringing Monday, Friday to Wednesday, you could argue, you know, isn't doing anything for the program.
Also, well, what's AJ's deal? So AJ is, why is AJ pissed off? Because they like invaded his show, right? So you could argue he's just upset that it's like, these guys are coming into my show. They're like taking my airtime.
I'm coming over here now.
So now I'm taking your airtime.
Right. But he didn't say that.
No.
Right. That's your point, right? That like,
yeah.
That's, I get that.
Yeah.
Like that would add.
Well, my point is this, is that I could be fine with that. Like, I didn't even, like, totally. It's not like, I think this is working enough where I'm watching and I'm not like, this makes no sense.
That's
not,
my thing, though. It doesn't have to be, like, this is so trite, but it doesn't have to be, like, El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie. It doesn't have to be, like,
I mean, I didn't see it.
Good writing.
Dan.
I know. I
haven't. It's wrestling.
Like, by the way, El Camino, it's hurting itself by calling itself a movie. Because I keep thinking I need to, like, sit down for a movie. So I keep watching TV shows when I would put that on. Does that make any sense?
It's like a long episode of TV.
I know.
Must see, Dan.
Anyway, I get it.
Well, I'm not. You're saying it doesn't need. You're kind of arguing against me, right?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be like it's. It makes enough sense.
Yeah,
it does make enough sense. But I am saying Triple H gets up and the SmackDown and is like, we fired the first shot.
Yeah,
there's been so. Who was he shooting at? Like,
think about
the
alternative, which is no invasion angle. Survivor Series is just Raw versus SmackDown on the same network for some reason. You know what I mean? Remember back in the day when Raw and SmackDown were on the same network?
Let me dig back into the folds
and
of my brain.
4 weeks ago.
We were to believe that two shows run by the same company on the same television network were going to war with each
sequential
other.
Sequential nights.
Right.
That's the alternative here. Let's see.
Right, but well, here's what I'm saying. Yeah. Here's my argument. Here's my argument. This is my opinion. I recognize sometimes it's like, here's what's right, here's what's wrong. Here's just how I'm feeling.
Sure.
Because I think AEW and NXT are both nailing it. AEW feels really special right now to me. Like they're really doing something. They really feel like they're thriving in everything and WWE does wrong. Mm. So it feels really good to me. I'm like, oh yeah, this is great. You know? And so like, for example, this Full Gear pay-per-view is this weekend, right? I believe that like the inner circle, I feel like the war of like the inner circle and Jericho and versus Cody.
Yeah.
I'm into that. Mm-hmm. I feels big time. Mm-hmm. It feels super important to me. And the structure of it is like good, you know? Yeah. And then there's also kind of a style difference where the other thing about NXT. Yeah. I'll live on that point for a second. Sure. I'm just saying I'm more vested in the story of AEW. I feel like they're just telling more of a story, whereas WWE's just kind of booking matches a little bit.
Right.
And I just want a little more. And I feel like the audience wants a little more. So that's it.
That's fair.
Yeah.
All right. Fair.
Right. Fair enough.
Fair enough. Moving on.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah. yeah. Well, I'm saying
this is NXT was great tonight.
Yeah. So, but I'm saying, yeah. So, and NXT is great. They're both fucking great.
Yeah.
I just would like a little more. That was it.
Just a little something extra.
What was I saying about AEW today? There's a thing where AEW does that I really dig, which is they feel like they live in the real world. We've talked about this before. It feels like they live on the same planet that we live on.
Right. We're all members of the same society.
So like literally it's so small, but Cody mentioned podcasts in ring on mic. Wow. He was like, I've been going around doing all this media, going on podcasts, and I said this that whole time. And you're like, so he's a guy who goes on podcasts. And
right.
So, you know what I mean? And then there's something about that that is like, oh, wow, this feels more real.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Anyway, both great. Anyway, NXT was, I'm just giving that, I think there, I was giving a little bit of, there was something a little bit like three, let's find a three that I wanted to give a criticism. That being said,
yeah.
Watching AJ Styles wrestle in an NXT ring is incredible.
Give me Matt Riddle versus AJ Styles.
That would be a great match.
That's basically what we saw tonight.
It was, I mean, they were locked in.
It's wild.
Yeah. Because, I mean, AJ, of course, right, can wrestle anybody.
Anyone.
And Riddle's style is so cool that, yeah, it was just great matchup.
It looked like Riddle might have hurt himself there.
He botched a little bit, yeah.
Well,
he's too excited.
How tall is he? You're trying to tell me he's 5'9"?
Like I don't. I think he's 6 foot max.
He's 6 foot.
I don't think he's that big.
I bet you he's 6 foot.
Who,
two.
Riddle?
Yeah. Riddle.
He looks large.
He's huge because he's jacked up and he's also kind of, he's thin. So the narrow
He's
effect.
6'2".
Yeah, he doesn't wear shoes.
Build a 6'2". Oh, he doesn't wear shoes either.
Yeah, so that's taken off like half.
Yeah.
No boots.
So AJ is getting, like 2 inches probably with his boots.
It's
probably
a
lift situation.
I can confirm that AJ Styles like comes up to my shoulder.
Yeah.
Because he rested his head on your shoulder.
He did.
That
he
one
was
time.
Like,
that was really cute.
Yeah.
That was really cute. Hush, little darling.
Yeah.
But. NXT's fire. I love what they're doing with Finn.
Yeah.
Who, you know, I love Finn Balor. Not one of my guys, but
Shouldn't have gotten the hand tattoo.
The hand tattoo was a misfire,
mistake.
I think.
Mistake.
Do you like the hand tattoo?
He got the Dino tattoo on his arm too. Do I like the hand? I think it is a cool tattoo, but I think for Finn to just like go out the gate with his first tattoo right on the back of his hand.
It seems a little.
Yeah, well, then he got the Dino tattoo like right after, and he got married. Like he was going through a lot of life changes, so and going to NXT. So like maybe you know this
but
is
he's
just
going
a new
the heel
era
zone, but it's not a heel tat. The placement's very heel,
right?
Because Bray Wyatt,
got that one,
and his tattoo is killer.
It's awesome.
On his hand. Bray Wyatt, I think, has the best tattoos in the biz.
Yeah, one of my guys.
Wow,
I think one of all of our guys.
Yeah, one thing about Bray Wyatt is that he's one of my guys.
Yes,
I mean,
wow,
he's been one of my guys for a long time. Yeah,
Bray Wyatt through the years is one of my guys. Yeah. Fedora Bray Wyatt, I like
Fedora Bray.
Yeah.
Sweater Bray, Fiend Bray.
Everyone knows how I feel about Bray. And by the way, if we're gonna talk about Bray. Bray, because why not? Let's just jump around, let's baby. Go.
By the Bray.
By the Bray.
By the Bray. Wyatt.
Bray-by.
Bray-by. Oh, baby. Anyway. Wait.
Their new song.
That's Fedora Bray.
That's Fedora Bray, who I like. That's one of my
swamp,
guys.
Swamp Rapist Bray.
Love the Swamp Rapist. Newman is levitating.
Alright, anyway, oh, hey, folks. And by rock hard, I mean the rock muscles.
Right.
Yeah. So as he's looking very vascular.
Very vascular.
As hard and as vascular as the rock.
Yeah, absolutely.
Muscles.
That song gets me rock hard.
Not rock hard.
No, not rock hard. Gets me rock hard.
big difference.
Yeah, it's different.
Difference.
Absolutely, it's totally different.
Gets me rock hard.
All right. Yeah. So anyway, but the Bray. So fucking WWE backstage, right?
Oh yeah, watched
they
it.
Okay, because you guys know.
Yeah, this was a thing.
You guys know. You guys know my deal. I have a weakness for the custom title belt.
The custom title belt.
When a wrestler takes the title, wins it, and makes it their own, it's one of my favorite things about pro wrestling, okay, that UFC has decided to try to copy, okay?
It's an opportunity for a Murchis.
It's an opportunity for a Murchis. It's an opportunity for a extremely reckless Murchis.
I'm going to admit I'm pretty stoned.
Okay.
And so this idea might not be as good as it sounds in my head right
now. Hit me with it. I am not.
Okay. Hold
on. What if in wrestling, like WWE lore, when the title is vacant, it is just a plain brown strap. Mm. But when it is around the waist of a champion, it appears as like a version for that champion. So like when no one has it, just a plain black, plain brown strap. Okay. When John Cena gets it, it's the spinner belt.
You hear us, Mole?
This is not my favorite idea.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying?
It's a little
bit of mysticism.
I like the concept, but if you were like in my writer's room, I'd be like, great pitch. We're not going to do that. But that was a great pitch.
That's fine.
You thought it through.
I think that's a fair assessment.
It's a great concept because I like the reset. Mm-hmm. And I like that some wrestlers, like a Kofi, although Kofi, I feel like could have made like a unicorn title.
Yeah.
But I'm actually glad they didn't because I think for a little bit, during the Kofi run a little bit, he did pull off like, yo, I'm just a good wrestler.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I think that was cool.
Yeah.
I always thought like he should maybe take it. I think a cool thing could have been to do for Kofi, him being like, guys, for this run, I got to step away from the Due Day for a second, or something. And then like to do that. But I think they did do that, but he kept the gear.
Yeah.
Right.
But I always, anyway. Okay.
Also, get well soon, Xavier Woods.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Ooh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It's a moment of silence for. But he's fine.
Can
right?
the New Day be?
Leg, right?
Can the New Day be all like one of my guises?
Yeah, I think tags are allowed.
Yeah.
Yeah. That. Absolutely. New Day can be one of your guys. Anyone? Freebird rules fine.
Okay. Got it.
Flies.
Yeah. But because I said this before. I feel like Adam Cole. I just have to be honest. It's not currently one of my guys.
He is one of my guys. Yeah. He
is most people's, guys.
He's very good.
I love him.
But to me, he is the closest guy. He surpassed Finn as the closest guy
he
to being my guy who's not officially one of my guys.
Got it. He's a guy delegate.
Absolutely. But then Undisputed Era as a whole is one of my guys.
Yeah.
And Roddy Strong is one of
my
guys.
I love Roddy Strong. Another one.
Definitely,
Cole should be there, but I think I'm waiting for... He hasn't had a proper feud that really like got me going, you know? And he's had good matches, but a feud. He's not had a feud to lock him in as one of my guys, and he has not had a promo. He's had a lot of good promos. I'm not saying that. But he hasn't had the promo that has...
His
I felt.
Miz moment. His,
And he will have it. Right. I know he will.
Right.
Where like Finn, I'm not sure Finn is gonna ever become one of my guys.
Right.
I know Adam Cole is gonna be one of my guys.
He's on the track.
Yeah. So he's on the track. He's on the fast track to becoming one of my guys. He's at the conference, right? Yeah. He's learning, but he hasn't taken the exam yet.
Yeah, he hasn't gotten his certification yet.
Absolutely.
He's on his way.
And truthfully, he hasn't clocked the hours. Right. You know what I mean?
Honestly.
And also, he could use it to juice. Yeah. For me, I'm a notorious body guy. And everyone
knows said this, though. He
hasn't gotten rock hard yet.
He should be at least as rock hard as...
Sean?
Roddy.
Well, here's the thing about Adam
at
Cole.
Least.
Adam Cole is very petite. People don't realize that.
No, he's actually a pretty tall guy, too.
I've seen him in person. He reminds me of Arlen. He reminds me of Arlen, my buddy Arlen, who is actually a guy in really good shape, but reads as a smaller man.
Right.
Mm.
Because he has a European frame.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And a European frame for a European title.
Right.
But when he's
6 foot.
Cole wrestled Daniel Bryan.
He's 6 foot, and Arlen.
I've seen Cole in person.
He's 6 foot. Arlen is not 6 foot.
No.
6 foot changes a person. Like when you hit 6 feet, even 5'11". I'm 5'9" and a half, 10".
Yeah.
5'11".
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, well, you were bragging about your height, so the glass broke. But I think
glass
you broke
ceiling.
It. Yeah, that's where you grew a little
Sorry,
bit.
Sorry, ladies.
Yeah. Thanks for shattering that ceiling for me.
But dude, bro. What were we talking about? Cole?
Oh, yeah.
Like Daniel Bryan, for me, has worked himself out to a point where he's short. He's probably 5'8". But he's like a brick.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know those, like, you know, like, you ever pick up, like, my dog looks like a heavy dog, but you pick him up, he's extremely light.
My dog is the opposite.
Right.
She looks small, but she's like 55 pounds of pure muscle.
French bulldogs are fucking heavy.
Yeah.
You pick them up. That's like, Daniel Bryan is like a pretty, at this point, is like, bulldog. He believable. And he's got the perfect wrestling style for a small guy. He throws himself.
Yeah.
He's got the knee. It just works.
Right.
And he's a submission artist.
Why he's the GOAT.
He is like a master of the game. Yeah. On Friday, we were all reminded why he's worth a $400 purchase of an eco-friendly title. Now, so back to WWE backstage.
Okay,
these fuckers announced.
I know, this is upsetting.
They announced like, yo, the Fiend title, he's going to give you a sneak preview of his tweak on the Universal title. So I literally am like, I do my show, I have an improv show at 7, and then I'm like, all right, at 8, that's 11 p.m. Eastern time. I'm like, put my phone on and I get to see the fucking Fiend's title. And then I turn it on. It's Firefly Funhouse. They just meant he put his own side plates on the title.
Ooh, it has the Fiend's face on the plates.
Yeah, but every wrestler puts side plates on.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe...
What the fuck were they
Maybe they were going...
Womp womp.
Maybe there's something else. Like, I really had a hard time believing, like, this is it. Like,
well,
it's just the plates.
What the Fiend's custom title should look like.
What's that?
Okay. So
close your eyes.
Like the
close your eyes.
Close your eyes.
Okay.
Close your eyes.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Yes.
All right. So you lose the lantern. Okay. Even though the lantern rocks, when he's the champ, he doesn't need to hold two things.
Right.
Okay. You need a cart if you're shopping. Combine the lantern and the Universal title.
Yes.
So you take the title and he holds it like this, right? Like.
Open your eyes so you can see it.
Open your eyes. Open your eyes.
Okay.
No, lights back on, please. Okay. All right. And he holds a strap, and then you put one of those flat LED lights, you know, like the ones, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Your battery operated LED light.
Yeah.
So the whole back of the title, let's say the red part where behind the W is a light.
Yeah.
Right? And then you make the rim, the home plate.
Yeah.
Make that a mouth.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
You make the W teeth.
Yes.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you make it bleed or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But the strap is like skin-like. You know what I mean? Human skin like.
It's like a tapestry of different human flesh.
Yeah.
Well, wait, so
threaded together with
leather face belt.
Yeah, with the most vile thread.
Yeah, I was thinking like a brown, like a dirty brown leather. Like, yeah, you know
with
what I mean?
A patina on it. Yeah.
Well, what do you think of that?
That's
like
great.
The strap that's is very, the lantern.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I thought there was just gonna be something.
Did he do the headlamp in Saudi Arabia?
Yeah. Wait, what? Oh, my God. I actually think he did. Because it's like a terrorist head?
Well, it's like
they
Khashoggi.
Beheaded.
They fucking murdered Khashoggi. Yeah.
Maybe I don't know if he...
I don't think they would have permitted that. I can
Listen,
see.
I understand
see.
This is touchy, but as a comedian,
yeah,
that's funny. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
it's
like
wild.
That's like an idea. Where, hey, look, that's we can handle this. Yeah. That idea might hit the hit the floor.
We got this, you guys.
Yeah, no, we're good. Yeah.
That idea would hit the floor, but we're just pitching here. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're pitching here. Wow. That's
I don't know,
fucking.
Man. If he did it.
It's funny and dark.
Yeah.
But wow. Anyway, I didn't think about that.
Did he?
I will give you confirmation on that. I'm looking for the. Revisiting the tape.
You made your brain. I mean, our brains are weird, dude. Your brain might have like just put that in your memory, and he might not have done the head.
I mean, that would be a step too far. Even
I don't remember it. To be honest, I don't remember it. But anyway, so The Fiend's the champion. Brock Lesnar is now on Raw because he quit.
Yeah, he quit SmackDown.
And props to Paul Heyman for making that make sense.
Right.
I want to say I'm fine with this level of exposition because we need stuff in Raw and SmackDown to make a little more sense, you know? Mm-hmm. But...
Oh, he did have the lantern, folks.
Yeah. I think he would. I think it's putting that together is...
They didn't really make a big show, but...
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway.
That, and I mean, too, you're talking about a culture that fucking doesn't let women drive, so, like, I don't know what else they're going to be upset about.
I know.
Right.
That could also upset them.
I know. You see in the videos, it literally says, like, it's a great time to be a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw all the Saudi women talking about, like, how wonderful it is to see...
It is great to see that. It's like, whatever. I don't even want to talk about this.
Anywho.
I just don't even want to. It's not fun.
Yeah.
So look, and we're trying to have funnier people. What we do is fun. Move on. Fun times. Can we scratch that from the record?
Have you seen that? My reference for people is from, there's like a famous diner in Dasher. He's like an Australian guy. Uh-huh. And he's getting arrested.
The guy in Revival?
No. It's from like, it's like a real clip from like the news. He's getting arrested. And he's like, you're under arrest. He's like, for what is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal? You've never seen this?
Wow, no, I've never seen
and
this.
And he goes, and the cop grabs him. He goes, this is the one that touched my penis, people.
People.
Yo, great. Listen, beautiful.
How do you
just look at Google I succulent get... Chinese meal?
Okay.
Listen, we're talking about the. I don't want to drop this point.
Got it.
Go.
This Lesnar is bringing the black title back to Raw.
Okay.
It's there.
Yes.
It's already there. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
And okay.
Okay.
Okay. But now would the title still be red on SmackDown? Does the title go blue?
Does the title turn blue? It should.
Does the title
it's
go
being
blue?
Strangled.
Does the title go blue?
I think it's red. Yeah. I think it's going to just be red and on SmackDown because
it's
he
so
had a
weird.
Red title on backstage.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, they could just suddenly change it. That would be
the
craziest
thing. Can't have
a blue belt.
No. So here's someone pitched on the Facebook page that I thought was fucking brilliant. If The Fiend, when Bray Wyatt holds just the regular Universal title,
but
The Fiend comes out with a fucking
because we haven't seen the Fiend.
So like
with
when
his...
Bray's a regular guy, he's just, oh, I got the title. And then I think the nameplates should not have had The Fiend's face on them. I think that's a misstep.
Yeah,
they
agree.
Should just say like
see
Bray Wyatt or or have like the something like that.
Firefly Funhouse font. Bray Wyatt.
Or even the graphic from the Wyatt gym shirt.
Yeah.
Just
like
something.
Something Bray, not Fiend.
Okay, here's another thing. The Firefly Funhouse. I understand that now we're not really doing the what did they ever resolve that it burnt down? And then it
No.
Didn't it just come back?
I think it just came back and on the show, like in the little clip package they showed rolling in the Firefly Funhouse, they showed the funhouse burning. Right. But then he was in it. So I don't know if it like respawns.
Yeah, like why wouldn't they just make it? It would be funny if it was like kind of charred up. right?
Yeah.
That wouldn't that feel like that would fit it? That
yeah.
Like, it's like he's kind of like putting it back together every episode or something.
All the yeah. photos were back on the wall too.
Yeah, he just burnt it down and then going, this is the stuff that makes me like AEW more.
Right.
Is that like, so for example, on AEW, they, Cody put that package together that we all complimented on the podcast where it was like Cody is like he was like sitting there and Brandy's like going through his schedule but he's like in his head. I love this whole like Cody's so haunted by his father's legacy and like making this company it took him so long and his dad. The best thing Cody does is when he says like my dad died before me becoming the champion and once that happened like that always gets me
because
you know that's real.
Right.
And like WWE, sorry, you can't compete with that level of real. And it like drove him to become this success and his dad will never fucking see it. And we love his dad. Right. We know his dad. He was the American dream. You know?
Yeah.
It's like this was just cut hot daddy. yeah. He's son of a plumber.
Yeah.
And now he's a son of a gun. But yeah, you know, so I'm saying like so Cody does that, he does that. Then Jericho puts this week out
tonight
they show this hilarious I want to say like spoof
parody
right
yeah.
parody
yeah
of the Cody and they didn't even like go they didn't go like remember when Cody did that nothing they showed it when I saw it it was standalone funny. After I remembered oh that's exactly the Cody one I didn't right. I forgot.
I didn't realize that till you said it earlier.
Yeah, me either.
But they treat us with that level of respect, like, oh, they're digging at Cody,
yeah.
And it's like the whole Inner Circle's whole deals. They're like a cancer to what Cody's trying to do,
right?
And like, what's I buy it, I get it. Cody's whole thing, it's not just about matches. Cody's the owner of this company. Chris Jericho is what's best for business. He knows that. He's a bigger star. Jericho, he says, I want to thank you. Everyone should be thanking me. And he's right. Mm-hmm. Jericho is the reason, like, he is the ratings maker. Like, mm-hmm. he is their star. He's, like, the perfect foundation. So it's, like, I'm fully bought it.
Mm-hmm.
But then WWE burns down the funhouse and then they don't even have any care into like charring the background. This billion-dollar company can't flip that level of continuity at all. And that's been the whole story with Bray Wyatt, who I love, where none of it ever makes sense. They start and stop with him, drop it. None of that Sister Abigail stuff paid off. It was like, oh, we're going to burn, Randy Orton burned down his house,
right.
You know, and it was like, well, what was that? That never built anything after?
Not that I can recall.
No. you know, so that's the thing is that I said this on the podcast earlier this week was AEW has such a level of trust right now with their fan base that I'm sure they'll fuck it up at some point, but so far, so good.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what makes it tough. Let's talk about Seth Rollins for
Love
a second.
Talking about Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins, one of my guys.
Yeah.
He's my guy.
He's your guy?
He's my
your main
guy.
Guy.
He's my number one. He occupies two spots on my the guys list.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Occupy Guy Street.
Yeah.
Wow.
Seth Rollins. He's my guy.
Seth Rollins, one of your guys?
No.
I don't think he's one of your guys.
No, he's definitely not one of Newman's guys.
No. I've gotten into this, but I grew up with like Seth Rollins's. I've been to like metal shows with Seth Rollins's. He's like the guy who always wished he was in the band but couldn't do any of that.
He's like, he is that guy.
Yeah. And he,
but I love him.
Yeah. And so he was always like moshing a little too hard, you know? So I know.
I hear
he's you. Seth Rollins is like a little off where it's like he's a hot dude. Right? Oh, we all agree. Hot dude.
The hottest.
Hottest guy.
Biracial.
Really? Yeah. checking all my boxes. Biracial. yeah. No.
Well.
If you got to be one of my guys, you got to be fucking Keanu. I'm looking for mixes, people.
down with the swirl.
no, but I'm saying down with the swirl. No. I'm saying he's hot dude. Really talented. Super athletic. You know what I mean? Great wrestler. gets over, has like really, has like a look, his gear is on point, he has that, but there is a part of him where you're like, I don't know, this guy, he's like, one of those guys who's like, he's one of those guys who's like not actually cool, but right. He checks a lot of other boxes, so exactly. He is cool. You know what I'm saying?
I right. Hear you.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, I saw him when I watched.
Almost like someone who's like a great football, like a jock. You know when a jock's cool because they're good at the thing,
and but that's then the only reason.
But their personality's like just not all the way there.
Right.
I don't know. When I watched Seth Chronicle, it put me over that hump where I was like, I don't know, because yeah. It gave you kind of a look at what real Seth Rollins is like. And it's not vastly different than what you think, but he seems like a good person.
Right.
Which earned points in my book.
You don't think he's a good person, Newman?
He seemed like a good guy. Like,
what are we talking about, good person?
I'm not saying like I mean, like, he is charitable.
I don't care
but
about giving charity. I just mean like,
he seemed, I mean, a little whole.
For the record, I don't think anybody's a good person.
Well, that's you. Yeah,
well, that's a bigger expected. Question. I mean, right. Like, you know, just for doing this podcast.
He seemed like less of a douche.
Good people, you know?
People. Yeah. He seemed like less of a douche than I had written him off as to that point. Right. So whether he's a good person or not, I don't know. But he seemed like that part of me that thought that he was like just the douchebag at like, a Taking Back Sunday show who wishes he was in the band. Like, it kind of erased that part. He's all wrestling, though.
You know what I was trying to say? I feel like he takes himself a little too seriously.
Oh, right? No doubt.
That's kind of the thing. But at the same time, it works at moments. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And and it's funny. He's in that Shawn Michaels camp. Shawn Michaels is another guy who at points had that moment, had that vibe of like, oh, he's not. Like, he's like not really funny. Like, when Sean would, when he was a DX, he was like so not funny.
Yeah.
It would be like, oh, he's trying to be funny. And he's like, oh, a guy, this hot of a guy, this athletic of a guy, he doesn't need to be funny. It's not like me. Shirt. I was like a personality guy. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Yeah. Oh, I got a purple jacket back on. It's cold in here.
Oh, my God.
This got a little sexier in here. Yeah. I think I felt the sexy. Enter the room.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear that joke I told about taking my jacket off?
Wait, Sean, I'm sorry. Sean,
are you
telling a joke?
No, I've been taking classes of growling, so did you hear that joke I made on when I was like, oh, I took my jacket off and people thought I was going to be fighting? What's his name? And Hunter was like, no, put your jacket back on.
I don't
it's
know
not
if
him.
That's a joke.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a visual gag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gag. Okay, let me write this down. I'm learning about comedy. Oh, I'm a sexy boy.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, any more of your comedic stylings here? Or, you know, you doing got any upcoming shows or anything?
I'm doing mostly prop comedy and short form improv.
Really?
Yeah, Two very hot ticket trades.
How's that going?
Not good. There's not a lot of laughs. I'm bombing a lot. So
yeah.
Where
that's
can
good.
We
kinda
see?
Kind of sad for old Sean on the. You know.
Yeah. Oh, so you're doing you're training at NXT and then in the weekend
hitting all the Tampa.
Where can we see
clubs.
You perform?
Yeah, you can see me at Chuckle Buckets on Main Street in Tampa.
Yeah.
You can see me at Oh My Ribs Theater over here on Santa Monica.
Really?
Santa Monica, yeah, over here in Hollywood, California. You can also see me at the Yuck Factory in Des Moines, Iowa. Come on down. We got a Bernie Mac impersonator.
Is that the only place we can see you? Or maybe at another venue where we can see you at?
Oh, yeah, and this weekend at the Dallas Motor Speedway.
Oh, that sounds good.
Dallas Motor Speedway? All right, Sean, I think you got to go. I think one little comedy tip I'd tell you is that you might want to figure out how to speak. You know what I mean?
Step one.
Yeah, all
right. Wow. I think it was Shawn Michaels is becoming Guado or like from, you know what I mean? Like
open your mind. Yeah.
Wow.
Shock the system.
Save Mars.
Save Mars. You got to save Mars so Tulo has somewhere to live.
Save Mars.
All right.
Save Marks.
Okay. Let's, let's just finish the Seth Rollins chat.
Yeah.
So the whole angle on Raw this week with Seth is like, and by the way, talk about one of my guys. I'm not ditching Seth Rollins. You know what I'm saying?
You're not going to abandon one of your guys.
No way.
Not this one.
No guy left behind.
It's a fucking mistake. And I'm not ditching The Miz either. Right. He can shill Saudi Arabia all they want, blah, blah, blah. The second that guy turns heel and grows out the Nazi hair again, you know he's gonna. You're going to Miz. It will be one of my guys. Yeah, okay? Yeah, yeah. So I don't easily ditch my guys. Okay? Right. It's not about who's doing good right now, who I like right now. If you're one of my guys, you're one of my guys.
You have loyalty to your guys.
Yeah, I mean there's definitely behaviors that will, like, you're no longer one of my guys, but
totally.
Right? Like, we're, you know, we have to have a sit down, right, you know, and then you're out of here. But it takes a lot.
Yeah. To best endeavor one of your guys.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, let's so Seth comes in there and Triple H, that I thought was the only hot moment on Raw really this week, the only second of Raw that I thought was good. But when Triple H came out, it was like, oh, and Triple H, man, Triple H is really a great promo. I mean, like, I can't overstate it enough because
Someone you idolize.
Someone you idolize. Someone you look up to.
I always hear that in my head.
That's so funny.
Someone you idolize.
That was a good pull.
I can't get the SmackDown back on here, but we randomly will have that.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Someone you idolize.
Oh my God.
There's just something that sticks with me about it. I don't know what it is.
Why don't you shut up, Steve?
Okay. So. Someone you idolize.
Someone you idolize.
Yeah.
We all died like a dog. we all idolize him, don't we, folks?
Yeah.
We love to idolize him. Some people don't, but that's okay. So anyway, that's okay. So they're not such nice people. They're not
okay.
So nice. That's okay.
They're losers. They're crying and screaming the whole time. But okay. So anyway, look.
Oh my God.
All right. Oh, sorry. But look.
The Undertaker doesn't like being dead. Hates being dead. Not a lot of people talk about it. They talk too about me, but they don't talk about that later. All right.
So look, Seth, he comes to the ring. So Seth Rollins, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Triple H is like, oh, look, where you don't know what, he comes out and he's like, I don't really know what's next for Seth, okay? Seth's getting booed, you know?
Uh-huh.
Triple H is like, yo, it's funny how you and I keep crossing paths. Yeah. And it's like, that was fucking good storytelling.
Yeah.
That is true, that there is this kinship between the father of NXT and his firstborn.
Right.
Well, and then he actually beat him on the grandest stage of them all. Uh-huh. And he's like, I put you in the Shield. You know what I mean? And he's like, and I ushered you in. I gave you everything, man. You know what I mean? I made you the architect, remember? Because that was Triple H saying, oh, there's always a plan B. These guys are really tied in a way that works really nice.
Shakespearean-like.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. And like that I really marked out for. I do think, though.
It is a great line.
What?
Like, funny, like, how you and I keep crossing paths.
Yeah. It's funny how you and I keep growing. Like, yeah. Triple H has, like,
you know, it's funny.
Triple H
was someone you idolized.
Like, Triple H has these moments of brilliance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And NXT is, there's brilliance there, right? But then, so he's like, Seth asks for a title shot or whatever for NXT title. But again, it's like, is Seth Team Raw? Like, the allegiance was still kind of unclear there, where it's like, what is Seth thinking? Is he actually thinking about it? Is he kind of like, if I win the NXT title, then I'll come back? Or is he like, I want to pull the NXT title back to the main roster where it's at? And then also, do you struggle with the fact that I see Ricochet still as an NXT guy?
Oh, yeah.
Is NXT a main? Like, Aleister Black, Ricochet, these are NXT guys to me.
Aleister Black hurt?
No.
What is going on?
I feel like they're like, let's just like do something with it. Like, Andrade is an NXT guy to me still.
Yeah.
There's a couple of these guys that are still, like, Finn, I didn't count as an NXT. He was in main roster long enough, you know? But there is this kind of, if they don't delineate these lines, there's kind of this ridiculous barrier where it's like, is Ricochet now like, fuck NXT?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, well, he did beat up the NXT crew when they came.
Because when Keith Lee, when Ricochet did the flip onto the main roster,
the NXT guys,
I was like, why is he doing that? He's an NXT guy.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Hey, what flavor you got?
Lemon.
There?
Oh. Lemon, not bulbs. Yeah. I know it's terrible, but I need the bulbs.
Yeah.
Any port in a storm.
Oh, a little bit of the bubbly. Oh. All right. Yeah. So that's it. I don't know. I kind of struggle. I'm struggling with that clarity, but I think I made this point clear. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's hit the cash-ins. We've been neglecting the cash-ins for a long time on this podcast. Now we're back in studio. I'm going to get through all these cash-ins here today, all right?
Oh, brother.
Remember, if you want to get your opinion on this show, leave us a voicemail at 316-530-2429-316. 530-2429. Blow my mind. Gobble wee.
Gobble, gobble.
All right. Here we go.
What's up, Jabroniacs? It's Jacob Levitt. Nickname still in progress.
Semitic superstar?
Walking down the street, down beautiful Comm Ave, looking at this beautiful city of Boston. And I just wanted to reflect on the trend of wrestlers cosplaying, which I know Dan is not a fan of. I think it's good when the character that is dressed as is appropriate. The thing that got me thinking about this specifically is Ricochet dressing as All Might. Now, I don't watch a lot of anime, but I fucking love Boku no Hero because it's a kick-ass show. But Ricochet as All Might makes no sense. Just to put this in perspective, All Might is like a huge man. And when I say huge, I mean like can be confused for a building. Like, he is drawn comically large. He's just like, his whole thing is he has like overwhelming power. He is the ultimate superhero. No one can defeat him.
Yeah.
Wishful thinking.
That is not who Ricochet is at all. There are other characters on the show who would be an excellent like character for Ricochet to dress up as. Deku, for example, would be a great choice. But that's kind of like,
I feel like this is my nephew telling me like what his favorite Pokemon is.
Right, I feel like I got the point.
Fair
there.
Point, Jacob.
I think here's what I would say.
And this one does this.
I think the Kenny Omega video game stuff's going a little too far for me.
Yeah.
Like it's taking me out of Kenny a little bit.
It's teching you out.
Yeah, like it's TJ Perkins in me. You know what I mean? Where it's like, look, I know he loves video games and his gear's always dope. I like that he pulls from stuff. Like when he wears the Final Fantasy, like the one wing.
Yeah, I love that.
And like that, it looks so money. Cool. So like pulling from those styles. But his song is like straight up like 8-bit, like, you know.
It's not
like,
badass at all.
He's a little Tetris. And then I get it. It's like, he's got the like the writing. It's a little too like, dude, I get it. You play video games. I play Magic also. Like, I get it. But, you don't need to just. It's a little fault. Would you agree?
I just don't think it's badass, you know?
Yes,
and
it's
like,
not badass.
That's kind of the problem. I thought like the Terminator stuff that he did before was like legitimately badass.
Right.
Like, it's Terminator. It's cool as hell. Yeah. But the video games thing is like totally lost on me. It lacks like a cool factor that I think Kenny has.
Well, yes.
That's shown.
It's a little soft.
There's something inherently uncool about playing
soft
video games.
Yeah.
As I say that as a guy
so
who plays.
So saith the man with a video game in front of him right now.
I play video games.
Yeah.
I'm not a gamer.
No.
But I play video games. And there's something inherently sad about it.
I don't play. The thing is, I like video games. I don't play them because just time suck factor. Like, right. I know if I have them, I'll sit there and play it for a lot. And then I'll be like, fuck, I wanted to do stuff.
Yeah.
So I've kind of made this deal with myself that, like, I don't play video games. You know what I mean?
Smart.
But also, if I loved it, I would do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not like don't worry, I waste plenty of time, people. But
we know this.
But anyway, I mean, with the cosplay, again, yes, it's case by case. When I was really shitting on the cosplay was SummerSlam weekend, where it's like six or seven wrestlers. Busted out special occasion. All I'll do is dress like an MCU character, right?
Right.
And it's just like, it lacks actual creativity. Now, if you see yourself as a character and you draw these parallels, being inspired by other art is an incredible thing to do.
Right.
And I really encourage it, especially if you're like, when you see, and I know your point, it's like when you see comic books, you see Wolverine, he's drawn to proportions that are outrageous. He's got muscles on muscles on muscles, you know, mm-hmm. And you're like, I want to come off like that. So do I have that kind of a similar vibe? Why do they, when you can animate and draw, and you can elevate it to exactly how you want it to look. Obviously, we're limited by reality and space and time and whatever. So if you could pull from that and touch that, even just touch that, that's great. But if you're like, lazily, I'm going to come out as Wolverine.
Right.
Which doesn't fit Johnny Gargano at all. Okay? I'm sorry. A guy who could use a little more personality, who I'm a fan of, okay? I would say not one of my guys.
Not one of my guys.
To be honest, he's not one of my guys.
Not one of my guys.
I said that the Gargano Ciampa feud was one of my guys.
I loved that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then both of them individually are not one of my guys. It doesn't tell me enough. You know what I mean? Whereas, for example, Ciampa coming out with the crutch. Coming out with the crutch. He coming out with the crutch. I'm like, oh, that tells me a story. First off, he just came off like a big surgery. And it's like, oh, that weapon. He used that weapon. I watched him in that moment. It's his own lore. And it's like, oh, he still carries it around because it was like a moment, some kind of, I don't even know the exact, like, I don't know what his... He has never explicitly explained it, but there's some reason where that stuck with him.
It's like symbolic.
It's the chip on his shoulder. Yeah.
Right. And, right, so that, I'm like, that's create your own story as a wrestler.
Yeah. Become your own superhero.
Right. So it's like Alexa Bliss is a heel, but then from her Instagram, I know she likes to go to Disney World on the weekend, right?
Right.
She loves fucking Disney World.
Although, I will say, so when she did her like Iron Man shit and her Freddy Krueger shit, and her Harlequin shit.
Yeah.
She does it pretty well.
It looked cool on her, and her gear's done really well.
Yeah.
I'm saying that it's like, oh, you're a heel, but now you're Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, the Buzz Lightyear thing was
and you're going like this. It's like, okay, that's fine, but it's just create your own character. You get this amazing honor of being a professional wrestler, and you get to live a character to the point where people call you that.
Right.
Like if you what like people I've been with Ziggler. People go Dolph Ziggler.
Well,
like
yeah.
out of the ring, you know?
Yeah.
And you get this incredible right? Like you get this character. Right. You get this incredible opportunity to actually live your life as a character, which if you think when you're a kid you would kill for. And then you're like thing is you're gonna be derivative of something else.
Right.
It just seems like a waste.
So you hold them in the same regard almost, where it's like it's like a lateral move.
And it shows me that you're fucking, it shows me you have no thoughts.
Right.
Bray Wyatt, look at the guy, he's the champion.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? He's created. He's had two iterations. Look at Hogan, man. Hulk Hogan. The whole character of Hulk Hogan he created, right?
What about Sting?
Fuck Sting. I'm not a Sting fan. Sting is Surfer a perfect Sting. Example crow. Of jabroni status. He just was the crow.
Yeah.
Even during that time, he's the Sting.
Wait,
can I say something about Sting?
Yeah.
Not one of my guys.
No.
I was never a Sting fan. Surfer Sting. Arguable, but
sure.
When I was coming up in wrestling in high school.
Were he and Warrior from the same tribe? Like, what was the...
Him and Warrior were the Dingo Warriors, right?
Right.
They wrestled as a tag team.
And that's why they had the face paint.
I don't know what they looked like when they were tag team, but I know they came up together.
Yeah.
And it's actually cool if you see Sting in interviews. He was like, when Warrior won the title at six,
yeah.
You know, he was like, he's like, I was so fucking jealous. Like, you know what I mean? But yeah, I don't know. Like that is like Sting, oh, he's dressing like the crow. Now, it did work.
Right.
But he was never one of my guys for that. Okay.
Next captain.
Oh, we should just move on to another one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. No, we don't have time for that yet.
Too many cash-ins.
What up, Cow Nation? It's Tony Shade back again. First off, I want to say thank you to everyone that's been having so much fun with the one of my guys discussion. Tulo and I were having a fun conversation for
big
about
surprise.
An hour or two the other day. Fuck. And now to see it be part of the conversation and community and everything, I'm marking out every time I see someone post it. So now on to the conversation of the day. You'd expect me to come in here talking about AEW because you know me, but no, I'm talking Monday Night Raw.
Wow.
Triple H and Seth Rollins in the middle of the
covered
ring
it.
And Triple H lays it out for him.
He wouldn't know.
That was such a great fucking moment. I had chills. I was ready to see him get an armband and join the Undisputed Era in that moment. And then he ends up saying, you know,
what did
if
he
I'm
say?
Go to NXT, I need to know that I'm going to be your top guy so I want a title shot tonight. What that told me was Seth Rollins is completely willing to go heel and go to NXT and join Triple H and ride with the big boys and do all the bad things and all of this stuff. But
okay, so I want to stop there. It stops right there and it picks up right here. That's old school. Which, by the way, I saw old school.
Uh-huh.
Again, it was in a hotel room. So when I'm in the hotel rooms, I just love like channel surfing.
Oh, that's the best,
yeah. I never channel surf.
Yeah.
Man, does that movie hold up?
It's one of my favorites. So it's one of my favorites of all time.
Scott Armstrong, who wrote the movie, records in this studio all the time.
Oh, yeah. That's why we have a poster here.
Scott Armstrong records in this studio, and he wrote this amazing movie. Unbelievable.
Irma.
I've seen this guy all the time, and I never bring it up to him.
I always say, always watching, always staring, look at the baby.
Look at the baby.
There's
just all these small moments where it's like, hey, I heard you slept with Goldberg's daughter. Yeah. He's like, that is untrue. That's Matt Walsh and Luke
Artie
Wilson. Artie Lang's in that also.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. What was I talking about?
One of my favorites. Old school.
Seth Rollins.
See, this is a great point. So Tony brings up the fact, he's like, I feel like Seth is totally willing to go heel. Mm-hmm. But here's where my brain goes. Because I've lost trust in WWE booking, my brain goes, that was just they thought of A to B on how to book Cole versus Rollins main event.
Yeah. And but there was no thought beyond it.
No.
100%.
And do you believe that? If you had a gun to the head.
Right.
Gun to the head, I believe that there was no like planning going forward. It was just like, this is how we get to this match.
Right. To this moment right now.
There's no greater story at large.
And so what I would say is that AEW, I believe right now that these guys are young, they're hungry as fuck, and they see that hole that I'm like, oh, I think they are thinking this stuff through. Like, so Cody announced in this promo tonight, he's like, if I lose to Jericho, I'll never have another match for the AEW title. He's like, it weighs on me that everyone thinks I owe this company. He's saying this stuff in the middle of the ring. He's like, it weighs on me so much. It's like, I don't want to be lumped into this like booker wrestler role. And he's like, so if I don't do it this time, I'll never get it. And then I'm like, fuck, what is going to happen?
Stakes.
Right?
Yeah. Cause
Jericho has to keep this title.
Right.
Because for their company, they need these long title runs and like ride out Jericho for as long as you can. I think it's not time to switch the title.
No.
But I think Cody loses, and then now we have the stipulation that he'll never do it. And then it's like, what happens to make him break it down the line? They'll have to be creative with that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's fucking cool. I'm already into this.
There's an element of the unknown.
Yes.
Like, you don't really know how it could go.
No. Also, so I think that, Tony, I'm with you on that, but also there is a broken trust that WWE needs to break, that they need to earn back. Triple H is doing his part, and I am an NXT fan. I think he takes his product extremely seriously. I think the other product, there is a part of me that's just, you know, I'm like, well, now I have an alternative.
Right.
Which is, you know, I'm always going to watch WWE, but now we have another company that's doing great work and filling the hours I want to watch wrestling, that's for sure. You didn't see AEW. You saw AEW?
I did.
The ending?
The ending.
Did you see the ending of NXT?
Yes. I didn't see... I think I saw both.
Well, because we were watching Redfall.
Yeah.
So both ends in a melee.
Yeah. I did.
Melee.
A melee.
Both of them end in a melee.
It's a melee.
A melee.
Amelie.
An abelie.
A
and
brouhaha.
They were both. I thought it was cool because it was like, man, which of these melees do I like better?
I like the AEW.
And
melee.
I thought the AEW one somehow.
Who's the schmoz?
Was better than the one that had Riddle and AJ Styles.
Ciampa.
Like incredible top talent.
Here's,
by the way, bask in his glory. Not into that.
Here's, neither am I.
Isn't it too close to glorious?
Yeah. And here's the thing.
Okay, yeah.
I think you, it's like you're in a relationship with WWE. There's trust issues, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at, like, AEW.
AEW is someone you just met.
AEW just met. Chance Encounter. AEW, maybe like AEW's butt cheeks are hanging out of the bottom of the
jean
shorts.
And WWE's like in the bathroom.
Yeah, you know, wearing a robe.
Isn't it that meme? Yeah. Where like the girlfriend. Yeah, looking the looking.
Yeah.
You know, I always pop for those.
Yeah.
Talk that's a good. Those memes, that meme specifically, the two girls and the guy. I like that one. Yeah. Permissible.
Well, you know that every time there's a meme on the Facebook page,
Dan tags me.
If you're not on the Comedians Wrestling Facebook
experience.
Page, yeah, you're not part of the 4D slash almost 5D experience at this point.
Yeah, we are hoping to achieve a 5D experience. Yes.
We will
in the
come
new year.
To your
Q1,
home.
Q1 2020, we're looking to achieve a 5D experience. Yeah. At
we're working
that's
on the five dimensions.
That's
dimension.
Where we spiritually enter your body.
Yeah.
But
we're going to be doing satanic incantations.
Absolutely.
For you.
To astral plane our essences. Directly into your pineal glands and take over your cortex.
I'm the meme police, and Dan will tag me in memes that he likes specifically.
And I get meme, I go, this one made me die. Is this like, I have a thing where like, I can't tell what's like a lame meme.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I can.
Meme? Well, I think I can, but there's times where I go, wow, I really like this meme. Is this,
am I weird for laughing at this?
Yeah. Which one's the one I tagged you in this week?
The one about Mansoor winning.
Did you see that?
21.
Yo, so
21-0.
It's Taker. You know when Taker puts at the end of his matches, when he wins, he puts his fist up and then the lightning goes at the top of the ramp.
Yeah.
So then what did it say? No one. It said Mansoor.
In 2029.
2029. 21-0 at the Crown Jewel. Because he wins every Crown Jewel match because he's the only Saudi wrestler.
Right.
And it made me laugh.
It made you laugh, I believe, for like, you revisited it like a day later and you were still laughing.
Yeah, I think it's really funny.
So props.
I do have bad news. Being deeply affected and easily affected by memes is a sign of being a boomer.
So shit.
You may have boomerism.
Wow. I might be a boomer.
See your doctor. You might be a boomer. Get a checkout.
Okay, boomer.
Because you might be a boomer.
Okay, I think boomer. Here's the thing. You could post a meme, but write a little something. Don't
that's
just reshare.
Be
like, even this made me laugh.
Don't shitpost.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't shitpost. And homegrown cow content is always appreciated.
If you made the meme, the image macro, if you made the meme, post it without anything. That's fine.
Okay. So it's fine. Do it. The point was the melee at the end of NXT was great. Mm-hmm. It was great. The melee at the end of AEW was fucking awesome.
Really good.
Nick Jackson gets on the top of the Titantron thing or whatever and like flips off of it. Jerk Mills made a point in the Facebook page. So
the controversial
Jabroni at Jerk Mills loves to pop in and just write like something extremely.
He loves to watch the world burn. Yeah, he just pops in, pops out.
Don't at me. Here's my thought. Don't at me. Fuck you. Right.
Yep.
And he wrote, NXT is indie wrestling for pussies.
Cowards.
Yeah. Okay. And to be honest, I was like, explain. And it did.
He made a very salient point.
It was a good point, which is that, like, when you watch AEW, they're bringing the danger of the indie shows. They're bringing that fire. And these NXT matches are a little clinical. They're really great.
Yeah.
Really great.
Yeah, his point was, like, basically you go to a real indie show and there's this energy and all this stuff. And NXT is taking that energy and then, like, distilling it into a commercial product.
Right. There's nothing to jump off of.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can't. There's nothing there to jump off of. Mm-hmm. It can't really go off the rails that hard.
It's like a corporate. It's like how a corporation has, like, they seek to have a continuity across their product line.
Right.
And that conformity ensures higher sales because you know what you're getting every time you get that thing.
Right.
Whereas a company like, I always use the analogy of when Arizona Tea was like first came out, it was small batch brewed.
Right.
And then Snapple came out and was mass produced and almost put them out of business because people were going to Snapple because every bottle of Snapple tasted the same.
Right. You brought up this point before, which is great.
Yeah, but there was variances in the Arizona tea, and so their sales went down.
Right.
Yeah.
Because so, McDonald's was like, they had their standardization.
Right.
They nailed it and literally like where every burger tasted exactly the same. That was like a huge deal.
Yeah.
That you knew exactly what you were going to get. there is an element of NXT that I can't, like, there is some kind of like clean sterileness to NXT. I have to be honest.
Yeah.
Where it's like
WWE style. It's safe.
WWE style. It's like, oh, there's three, now there's three. If this is a fucking invasion in NXT, AEW last week, the LAX put the Rock and Roll Express through a table. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, oh, that's dangerous. Like, they push it. Like, there is a wow factor at AEW. Sometimes it's like when Pac hit his leg on the fucking and you're like, oh my God. But you're like, look, these guys are doing it. Now, I'm not saying they got to be dangerous because I'm on record. I said to you, when Bandido did that flip in front of me I was like, I really... You know when you see what, like that basketball player who like he landed and then his fucking his shins, like I'm like, these guys, like I'm like that, right onto the concrete there, it's ridiculous. Like I don't need to see them die. Yeah. And Bandido flips and he'll hit the balcony, like
the where the lights are in the theater.
Like the indie guys, that part of their thing is they're like, oh, I'm gonna hit the light for added effect, like the dangling lights and the and you're like, don't do that.
Yeah,
but they do it. And I get really nervous when I see it, but it is. But then I also do pop for it. Like Janela has one of the worst bodies I've ever seen in
pro wrestling. One of my guys.
Right, he's people's guys. I'm like, I've seen this guy take that Bandido. I keep going back to Bandido, but that like sidewalk slam through like a bunch of chairs. You're like, you know, it gives me. You know, it's the Foley thing. There's always a respect to a bump.
Yeah.
Darby Allin weighs, I think I saw it here, 75 pounds, and he takes
as much as a bag of dog food,
as a bag of heavy dog food.
Yeah.
But he takes that coffin drop.
Yeah.
And
he he's wrestling with his arms behind his back.
Yeah.
And taking serious bumps. I'm like, I gotta respect that. A lot of that is happening in AEW. You know.
Yeah.
I'm just calling it like I see it. I think that was an astute point by, there is a level of when I'm watching NXT where it's like, all right, here's Rhea Ripley. Here, she's just choosing her war game team. All right, here's who they are. It's a little like, all right, oh, here's Steven Regal. Everyone's like, Steven Regal's killing it. He comes out, he goes, all right, everybody, war games. There's eight of you. Time for war games, you know?
Uh-oh, it looks like there's more than six wrestlers in the ring.
Whoa, Steven Regal!
That means there's war games!
Wow. Steven Regal, this is your first time coming into Cal Studio.
Yes, that's right.
Can I offer you, what do you drink?
I take On the Rocks in a shallow glass. War games!
Wait. You drink war games?
I drink every morning. I wake up 3 hours before my alarm clock goes off.
Okay.
I shamble into my living room.
Okay.
I turn on my kitchen light. I open up my fridge.
Yes.
I get out the Brita.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I take a glass.
Okay.
And I pour into my glass.
Yeah.
Some war games.
Wow, that explained nothing. I still don't know what war games is. I know that it goes through a Brita filter, right? Well, Steven Regal, look, you're here. I've been like, I'm an NXT fan. Uh-huh. I love what you guys are doing. They're great matches. It's a little like I know what I'm getting sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? What's the logic? Wait, when you're booking these NXT matches, what's the thought process week to week? What are you going for?
If at any point there are more than six wrestlers in the ring,
right,
war games shall be initiated.
Oh, okay.
And really my whole job is to make sure that when that happens, as soon as that happens, everyone knows it's war game.
Okay, so it's just like if the numbers you're looking, right. So you're watching, you're in the gorilla. Do you have a gorilla there? What do you call a gorilla in NXT?
Gorilla.
Oh, gorilla. Okay,
that makes sense.
Okay, you're in the gorilla position.
Yes.
Right, and you're watching the monitor. There's one wrestler in there.
Right.
Then there's two.
Right.
Then there's maybe a third might get involved. Where the valet come. Well, you know what I mean. Maybe one of the Undisputed Era wants to join in. Right. Then another Undisputed Era comes in.
We're at four or five.
Right. So right now four Undisputed Eras and one opponent.
Five. Okay. Not yet war games.
No. Mm-mm. No. But then Keith Lee shows up.
Yes.
Right. And he comes in and he does a flip on everyone. Then what do you do?
I stay in Gorilla. We have six men in the ring.
Right.
it's still not, we're still not there. So I just stay and I watch.
Okay.
All right. But should, I don't know, maybe Ciampa come out?
Yeah, let's say he does.
As soon as Ciampa, his music hits.
And
music
then kicker, say like beep, he has like
beep,
a...
Because he runs in, he hits somebody with yeah. a
well,
with
then,
a crutch.
My friend, it's war game.
All right. So all of your booking seems to be war game centric.
Yes.
Right.
Because it's fun to say.
Right. Yeah. So what happens when, you know...
I'll give you an example.
Okay.
The other day, my wife, Cheryl, and I...
Yeah.
We were at the Trader Joe's.
Teachers.
And we got into a little bit of an argument. I wanted to get the brown sugar cured Black Forest bacon.
Right.
She wanted to get the turkey bacon.
Right.
Okay.
And you can't afford both?
Cannot afford both.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If we got both, we're talking about $10.99 worth of bacon.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's a lot of bacon.
For anyone.
Yes. So.
And you're not bringing home the bacon.
And I'm not, I don't get paid nothing. Okay,
so folks,
okay, people, okay.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Wow, okay, you do
interesting.
Trump. I mean, that's offensive because you're not American.
Okay. Well, settle it.
Cultural
okay.
appropriation.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
So, we get into a little argument, there's no way to solve it. You know, she's not listening to me, I'm not listening to her. I go back to something I learned in couples therapy, which is war game.
Couples therapist.
Double ring. I say, you think you're clever. That just means you get added to the match.
Yeah. Okay.
War games.
Cheryl.
All right. Okay. Yeah. All right. So how did that end for you? Are you guys doing well as a couple?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Oh, wow. I see you, the parking attendant here told me you had a little bit of trouble when you were valeting the car here. What happened?
Oh,
he
yeah.
said that you were unhappy.
I had a little war games for, you know what I mean?
Oh,
a
yeah.
little road. Oh, you had a couple war games.
A
weeks.
Couple war games before I hit the road. Yeah. So I guess I could say I was driving under the influence of war games.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Well, okay.
Not
all right.
good behavior.
Yeah. All right. Well, Regal, I think you got to go here before.
A little nip of the dog, you know,
yeah.
of war
okay.
games.
Okay. All right. All right, well, Stephen Regal, thanks for stopping by. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, who the hell is Stephen Regal?
Well, he's William Regal's brother.
Well, yeah, there was Stephen, there was a real, when he was the real man's man,
there was
William Regal, but then there was Dr. Death, Steve Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right, take care.
Anyway, see you later.
Ta-ta. Ta-ta.
T-T-Y-L.
Okay. Anyway, so, look, I mean, I think... Well, the only thing we didn't talk about is this Brock Rey Mysterio match, because I was just looking forward towards Survivor Series, which is Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT, which I think is probably what would make more sense, his main roster versus NXT.
Right.
Yeah,
that I might buy a little
yeah.
more based on what it is, but it's like Raw and SmackDown, which means that they have a problem with each other, which we have not really established other than, right?
Right.
But I guess they still have time. But then there just randomly is Brock Rey match.
Yeah.
So is that weird? I hate that.
I don't know what it is.
I don't care about that match. I'm cool with that. Some people are like, oh, he's too small. I'm like, well, they booked Ray. He's willing to hit him with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
Maybe he had some stipulations to make it work, and the feud's been building. I'm fine with the match. I don't care. We can't get too caught up in size. Even though I talk about it, I get it. Rey Mysterio's a big star. Have him wrestle Brock. It's part of what wrestling is, you know?
Yeah.
I'm cool with that. But I don't like that they have no affiliation with the Survivor Series gimmick.
Right.
It's like an add-on.
Yeah, Brock should wrestle the Fiend.
Yes.
Don't you want to see Brock Fiend?
Most definitely.
I'm definitely bummed out by that. Anyway, that dude Dio, the announce team, and this is the long overdue conversation of Raw. I'm not into that Raw announce team at all.
Nah, no, it's lacking.
But Dio, I will say, huge guy.
Yeah.
See, he stood next to Brock, and I think he was taller.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Brock F5'd him through the fucking table. All right. Anyway, I think we covered it all. What do you guys think?
I think our work here is done.
I think we covered it all. I think NXT's doing a great job. I think AEW's doing a great job. I think Raw needs work. SmackDown was good because of NXT.
Yeah.
And I think, I'm excited for Survivor Series. I think it's going to be cool. We already have this women's triple threat, which I think will be cool. I'm just not sure why they didn't go Brock Fiend. I'd watch Brock Fiend Cole. I mean, it's a great opportunity for Cole. He's going to get thrown.
Oh, my God. Ragdolled.
Yeah. Right. There was a meme about that that'll show you.
I know.
You
I saw. Right.
The SpongeBob?
Yeah, I saw that. That was really funny. Anyway, hey, everybody, remember, You can support their show if you dig what we're doing. Go to patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. Get access to our bonus episodes. We'll have our bonus episode that's even more NXT AEW focused with the Supermark Nick Dulo coming out on Friday morning. And also our Hobbs and Shaw Patreon episode movie dissection will be coming out. We'll be doing one a month at the producer level. That'll be coming out on Monday morning on your way to work. And congratulations to Matt Wink.
Congrats, Matt. You crushed it this year.
Great.
Double Halloween whammy. Costumes,
and also showing everyone the loophole of having two costumes.
I mean, two good ones. I think he would have had it just with one of them. They're both great. But, I mean.
He did it.
He really crushed it.
Yeah. Hey, and everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses. Wrestling. I listen on Thursday when I go to work.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.